In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
911 emergency. Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine, and I won't be doing the entire episode in that voice. But that will give you a clue as to who we're talking about.
Yes.
As always, I'm here with Casey Balsham.
Hello.
And Danny Murphy.
Hello. My voice cannot go that low, guys. Trust me, I tried in middle school.
Solid attempt.
I tried in middle school.
For those of you who are like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Today we're going to be talking about Theranos scammer extraordinaire Elizabeth Holmes. Truly an icon, but actually I'm scared of her.
She's terrified.
Oh, same. So terrified.
She's a psychopath.
Yeah. When did you guys first hear about this scandal? Because I feel like it's been sort of percolating for a while now.
I think I'm not great at like keeping up with the news and all that stuff, but like my boyfriend is really, really on top of stuff. So I remember like kind of like getting a note on my phone, and I was like, what is this? And he tried to explain it to me, and it just didn't make any sense. Like, it wasn't until doing this deep dive that I was like, oh, I see what it all happened. But I remember like sitting, I think we were having coffee, and he's like, oh, this is crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds dumb. But it's not, and it's crazy and wild.
No, it's not dumb at all. Yeah, it's actually very smart, almost.
Like almost too smart. Yeah. And I feel like I'm kind of in the similar thing, but unfortunately I am very single, so I have no one to tell me about the news. But I do, I am invested in a lot of celebrities. So when she started getting like buzz about having things about her and like a series about her, that's when I was like, oh, it's happening here.
Yes.
Type of situation.
I actually do remember when Theranos was seemingly legit, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. This sounds cool. And then I promptly forgot about it because like, whatever, how often do I get my blood drawn? Once a year at most.
Also, like, we don't live in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. So, then it came crashing down, and I was like, oh, I remember this girl slightly. So that was all the more interesting.
I mean, also, like, I don't read Forbes or like Time. I'm like, I
don't think I've ever read Forbes.
Yeah, no, that was probably my favorite, like, doing prep for this, when you send like a Wall Street Journal article. I was like, cool, I'm on the Daily Mail right now.
Girl, they do bullet points and they do like five of them.
I think the most intense I'll do is like Business Insider. That's which is decent, but it's no Forbes.
It's no Forbes.
It's no Forbes.
No, yeah, but she's so insane, and kind of just like a background, because I feel like we all have a lot to say about her, and you guys are going to be so, like, you're going to be hanging on because I'm so obsessed with her kind of now. But before she was born, February 3rd, 1984, so V Aquarius, we're getting into that kind of thing. So, you know, and also, you know, she's older than Taylor Swift because it's not 1989.
I know. She's younger than me, though, which is infuriating.
So you got your little late to the
You could still
Palo Alto
scam
game.
Your way to becoming a billionaire.
I haven't even been a millionaire yet, let alone a billionaire, and then have my fortune fall. Like, I have no time.
But she was born in D.C., and her mom was a congressional committee staffer, and her dad worked for the ever scandalous Enron, which I feel like might click some neurons for people's heads.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Right? Literally, I guess it runs the apple on the tree. And then she then moved to Houston when she was young, so she's kind of like hopped around moments, but that's sort of like a very like situation going from D.C. to Houston. I feel like that's kind of normal for now.
For now.
You know, I'll allow it, Elizabeth. Yeah.
Until she puts on that turtleneck.
But then there's like a the book Bad Blood was Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup describes her as very smart, precocious, competitive, and wanting to be a billionaire at a young age, which is impressive. And in high school, this is kind of insane, she started a business selling a type of software that translates computer code to Chinese schools.
Yeah.
Which I did not even know
like
how to.
She always was like on it.
On it.
Right.
Yeah. And then naturally she went to Stanford to study chemical engineering, because if you're doing computer engineering in high school and middle school, you're good. And then became a president scholar freshman year. And then as a sophomore, she went to one of her professors and said, what sort of company? As, you know, just in the office
as
hours.
As you do.
And they did, which was Real-Time Cures, which later became Theranos.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the thing about Elizabeth Holmes is that unlike some other scammers, she was always very smart.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Like, she's not dumb.
It came rooted in her being very interested in STEM, like science and everything like that. And like, obviously, like, you can't really scam yourself into Stanford and being a presidential scholar that easily.
No.
Like,
right.
Selling codes.
Yeah. She was never like scamming what she could do and what she did like know. She also worked in Singapore researching SARS and all this kind of weird shit like that. So it's like, yeah, she was never a dummy. She just happened to not be able to, you know, follow through on this on this huge promise, obviously, but she was so smart.
And that's it's interesting, like all of her stuff, like very passionate and caring about helping people too.
Yeah,
because it's not like she I mean, because it's like wanting to do like engineering and science and all these things and like helping out other communities. It's very like refreshing here ish for like, because a lot of scammers are kind of just, you think of them more in like a business setting, being like, cool, how do I like scam someone out of money to do something?
Like, she wanted to democratize healthcare. Like, she wanted to make it within the reach and within the hands of other people.
Right. I think that's why, I think we'll just get into this later, but I think that's why initially this was so successful was because people really did want to buy into this idea. Mm-hmm. And as for what this idea was, so essentially the gist of Real-Time Cures, aka Theranos, was that initially she wanted to start like a patch that would administer medication and monitor patients' blood and like adjust the dosage as needed. Seems insane to me, the layperson, but okay. So she dropped out of Stanford at age 19 to pursue Theranos full time, and then sort of switched gears from this patch idea to, she wanted to develop a blood testing technology that would be able to test for essentially any disease under the sun, like cholesterol, cancer, whatever else, only using a finger prick of blood, unlike when you go get your blood tested and they take like three vials and it takes forever and you have to get a band-aid and whatever and they have to stick it in
your
hand
because
your hands are too small. Just okay, so Holmes like pretty immediately started raising venture capital money for Theranos because she had a lot of connections. Like, her dad, I think, knew Tim Draper, who was like the founder of a prominent VC capital firm. Doesn't really mean anything to me, but whatever. She also got money from Larry Ellison, who's the founder of Oracle. Mm-hmm. Betsy DeVos was a supporter at some point. They donated $100 million.
They sure did.
Makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing was that Holmes took all their money on the condition that she would not have to reveal how Theranos worked.
Right.
And that's kind of the whole thing. It's anytime someone would press her on the details, she would just be like, oh, it's trade secrets, it's proprietary technology. And people would be like, well, how does it work? And she would just kind of keep repeating that and never actually answer how it works.
She would like speak in riddles just to be like, well, the results and the this and the that. And people would be like, sure, okay.
Yeah.
This is why, like, this bitch didn't even have a website. I have a website.
Should we buy the Theranos domain name?
Oh my God. Ooh.
Yes.
Theranos.org.
.org.
.org. Let's do good by the people. Let's .org it. But yeah, no, this is honestly, it's crazy. Like, she could never explain what it was and how it worked. And she could actually never even prove that it was, that a prick of blood was as, what's the word?
Potent?
Potent, maybe?
Potent,
like diligence. she could never prove that it was the same. You could get the same results from a finger prick as you could intravenously. But people were still like, oh, that sounds okay. Here's a couple million dollars. Like, it's wild to me.
I don't know. I just feel very stupid when I read about these scams because I think this very like baseline question when I read about it, I'm like, did no one bring this up? And for me, the question regarding this is, don't you think that if the technology was there to do this, then someone would have done it already?
That's the thing. Yeah. Or like, and someone that's like associated with like a major hospital or something like that. They'd be so excited that this is a thing, even for people who are afraid of needles.
Yeah.
A,
right.
Or B, just to make the process so much faster. You get so much more testing done and help so many more people.
I feel like the system right now isn't as efficient as it could be. So if it were theoretically possible, then why wouldn't any of the bigger healthcare companies already be working on it?
Jumping on
this, yeah. And I think that it's also telling that nobody on her board, neither her nor Sunny, who I'm sure we'll get into, who was the president, had any medical background. She had a bunch of old white guys that were just throwing money to something that they didn't even understand.
Right.
And not a single person had worked in a fucking hospital.
And I feel like that's why that could have happened, because like she was well connected probably through her family and ties like that. And then also just being like, yeah, this is going to help people. And everyone's like, oh, cool. A charity that I can say I'm helping out or something like that. Boom. Yeah. Money's done. Betsy's getting her thing going.
Betsy. Well, she would pull on heartstrings too to like make it more like she would give these examples of like children with cancer that like, oh, and the needles have to get poked in their soft, you know, like whatever. And it's just like, when you say things like that, I think people are, they don't question it because they're just like, oh, she's helping kids with cancer. So we don't have anything
to say. Like, I think everyone's had some relative be affected by cancer. So she would kind of also use that as an in too.
Yeah. She was very manipulative in that way. But the fact of the matter is that she had tremendous support and nobody seemed to care until, you know, they did. Right. This is a just a brief history of how much money this woman was able to raise. In 2004, she had raised $6.9 million. By 2005, that had over doubled. She got to $16 million. 2006, she had $28.5 million. 2010, she was up to $92
million. Jesus.
I mean, give me your sponsor. Like, well, how did you do this? I'm just trying to get Instagram followers. And I can't. By 2014, this woman had blown the F up. She was worth $400 million. That's how much she had raised. She was getting on the cover of all these different magazines. And on paper, investors valued the company at $9 billion with a B dollars. God. So this woman, she was giving speeches all over the place with, I know she had a talk with Bill Clinton. Like she was the envy of any and all people. And she was still, I think, in her 20s at that point.
I think so, too.
It's very annoying. Like if you're in your 20s, don't be successful. Right? Like, at least don't be successful until you're in your 30s.
For yourself or others.
Yeah. For my well-being, I need you to be 37.
Right. Think of the rest of us.
It's very, very rude. So, which brings us to
well, I actually think
talk about Forbes and how they kind of like
insane
cover like and how they value people and how they come up with the how much people are worth.
Because there's
I wish I knew. Right. Because if I knew, like, I'd be on the cover.
Insane how they are kind of like a gatekeeper in a sense that they're like, oh, this girl is getting or this woman's being talked about a lot doing this thing. Yeah, we'll put her on the cover because people are talking about her. And that makes the conversation even like triple in size and also gives such like an instant legitimacy because it's not like any layperson if they're like, oh, well, Forbes says I'm not going to. Why would I fight against Forbes? You know what I mean?
Right.
I
just
Oh, if they believe it, they probably have a research team or something that has to check this.
But like we were saying, it's not like actual, like she doesn't have the $9 billion.
The company was not making $9 billion in profit a year. That's just projections of what it was worth. I think it's like kind of when you go on Shark Tank and they say like, oh, we made $1 million this year, so we'll make $3 million next year. And you're like, okay, I guess. Like,
yeah, but they're not like Scrooge McDuck, like swimming in coins.
No, exactly.
Like, they don't see anything. Like, they don't have like a cabinet in their closet.
It's like,
It feels like she was worth $9 billion theoretical dollars and not $9 billion real dollars, I feel like.
In her bank account. Yeah.
Her bank account, exactly.
Right. And just to show you exactly how big of a deal she was, here's the host of Mad Money, Jim Cramer, just absolutely kissing her ass.
Just one last question. To me, it's reasonable to compare you, I usually don't do this, to Steve Jobs and what he did for computing. I regard you as a visionary next generation person. Is this the kind of ridiculous pressure that nobody needs?
You know, Steve Jobs was, I don't think there is another Steve Jobs. He was a phenomenal entrepreneur. We've got an incredible opportunity to try to uphold a legacy in Silicon Valley of changing the world.
And disrupting the world.
We're working 24/7 to do it.
Opening thoughts. That clip did not age well for Jim Cramer.
Honestly. Honestly. Oh, first off, her voice is just comical.
Let's talk about the voice.
Like, it's just funny.
Because it's actively a fake voice persona that she wants to do to like be taken seriously in business. And because she wants to, that is like her dream. Like, that's her foreplay being compared to Steve Jobs, because that's like who she wants to be.
That's her thing.
In
you
her
think
life.
That's her kink. Like, she probably wears the turtleneck during sex.
Oh, my God.
I was
going
to say something very similar.
Like, instead of saying she's coming, she's like, update me or something like that. Like, she's wild.
Yeah, she's like, clean out my charging port. There's dust in it.
I'm at 1%.
For those of you who are like listening and not super familiar, so the deal with her voice is that a lot of people just think it was fake. I mean, number one, it kind of sounds fake. Also, her old Stanford professors mm-hmm. have been like, yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason she did it, Danny, is what you were saying. I think maybe studies have actually found that women with deeper voices are taken seriously more in business settings. So
it's like, even when I like, when you try to call out of school in like elementary school or middle school and you try and like pretend to be your parent on the phone,
right,
you just
right,
because you'll be more taken seriously than being a 7-year-old being like, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't count my beans, I didn't do my homework.
But I feel like it's just, her voice is so laughable. Like, it's, that's the voice that I do when I'm like telling a story about a guy who fucked me over. I'm like, exactly. And then he was like, oh yeah, I don't really fucking know.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I guess I'll call you back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, or do you have to do like the I Got You Babe, like the Sunny part of Sunny and Cher karaoke? You're like, they say you were young. Just me singing.
No, sorry, keep going. No take it, take it away. but there are no, when it came out though, it, all joking aside, it was very revolutionary. And her whole thing was that, you know, blood tests are painful and expensive. And like we said, she really tapped into the heartstrings of saying that, like, you know, people were, you know, it hurts to do this. And she had, you know, like you said before, a fear of needles herself. So she was like, let's try this new thing. And it promised to deliver results in hours. Like, they said that these machines could insane. Pretty much test for anything, which is really funny in the end that it really only could test for herpes, which I think is very telling. But it was very revolutionary to say, like, hey, we're going to take just a tiny prick of blood. You can do it in a freaking Walgreens. Like, you right. can get, like, you know, Swedish fish and make yeah. sure you don't have diabetes all in one thing. I mean, you probably shouldn't get the Swedish fish like, if you right, have diabetes.
The dots connect, yeah.
But it was a huge promise and a huge claim. It was going to cost less. So that was also a big thing. Again, her main thing, making it affordable to people and making it just
it's out there. Yeah, it's accessible. There.
It's accessible is the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think also a bigger thing was accessibility. One big part of Theranos was that they were supposed to be upfront with their pricing. And
right.
on this website that did not exist,
no
it was
website.
Supposed to list how much everything would cost. So it's not like me right now when I go to the doctor and I'm like, is this going to be $100 or $1,000? I truly have no fucking clue.
No.
Spin the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also did some really cool things, I think, in the healthcare space. So it sucks that this was a scam.
I know.
But according to Wired, in spring of 2015, Theranos co-authored an Arizona bill that eventually became a law. Mm-hmm. And it made it legal for patients to get their blood tested without a doctor's note, yep. which I think is nice, because if you have to go get a doctor's note, that means you literally have to like go to the doctor, pay how much it costs to visit your doctor, then you have to go to like a separate place or lab to get your blood tested. It's right. like a whole like runaround thing.
Yeah. But it was also kind of wild because it's like she was part of making this law, but then people were also like, she was using people as test subjects for her own thing. So it was like,
right.
hey, yeah. you guys don't need a doctor. Try my thing. I don't think it works. You know, like, it was like, it kind of feels like they were hand in hand. Like, they passed this law so that she could have these people unknowingly use this machine.
Right. Well, know? Walgreens and Safeway had set up a bunch of Theranos clinics. So it seemed like it was, I mean, it was a huge deal, and everyone, it seemed like it was really legit. But it actually was not, because, spoiler, none of this shit worked.
None of it worked. Like that,
no, it's...
Yeah, so they were just taking this blood, but they mm-hmm. were actually just taking it and using it in competitors' machines yes. that they had bought, because their machines didn't work.
Yep. No, it was wild. Like, they had all these... like, people come in and like test it, and they were like, oh, no, we FedEx it over to Palo Alto.
Right,
people
yeah.
are like, you do what with the blood?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it's like FedEx it.
And they're like, oh, no, it's totally normal. Yeah. And it's like, isn't your no. whole thing that I can get the results right there?
Instantaneously.
And she's like, oh, well, you yeah. know what?
It's like how no. the McDonald's frost machine never works, but like, with a multi-billion dollar company yeah. that is supposed to help you be healthy.
Right.
Yes.
That's
yes,
so
yes,
funny.
Yes.
Okay, can somebody explain to me what the deal with Walgreens was?
Right. So, essentially, they kind of got around like a legal issue, because apparently to test blood, obviously, there's got to be some, you have to go through some certain things, like the FDA has to approve. Like, you can't just have blood hanging out at a Walgreens.
Oh, damn it.
I know. So, put your needles
side
away.
Down. Yeah.
my big blood thing. I'm yeah. No vampires. dumb. Okay. Sorry. This is where my brain's at today. It's making the low-hanging fruit. It said vampire's blood. Okay. I apologize on behalf of the that community. So basically what happened is they, and Sunny kind of explained this in something I read or something I listened to, was that they got around this FDA approval by just basically opening clinics in Walgreens, even though what they proposed was that they were going to have these testing sites and the machines in the Walgreens. Like we said, you can't just do that without an FDA approval. And because they were so secretive that like nobody really ever was able to test and check that anything was up to par. So essentially
I was going to say, well, there are people that were, but then they got fired.
As everyone did. but essentially, like a couple of the things that started to people question it, that they had a couple people that were interested in investing money that went to these Walgreens to kind of be like, okay, let's test it out. And then they were getting intravenous blood taken. And then they were asking like, oh, can I get my test results? And they're like, no, we have to FedEx the blood to Palo Alto, to our actual lab.
Isn't that the whole point?
That's what they were saying. So that's why they were like, oh, yeah, I don't know. This is why you didn't answer any of our questions that we asked. This is why we're not going to give you the money, because this is
invested money, even when they were like, hey, before my eyes, this is not working, but take my money anyway.
Like, why not? Yeah.
Right. And it was one company that put in like, I think, $11 million into marketing that ended up pulling out because they wouldn't answer any of their questions. And it was one of the companies that really found this troublesome was this company that actually Abhi Tivani, who was one of Apple's, it was like Steve Jobs' right hand man, which of course
she just poached everyone from Apple, all the heavy hitters,
everybody. So essentially there was like $11 million in marketing that came through, and they ended up having to pull out because all this stuff was crazy.
Actually, I heard clips of this documentary that they were making. It was like they had also done those famous Apple commercials in 1984.
Yeah.
And they did the whole documentary where they asked people. It was kind of like that Dove campaign that's like, this is what happens when you call women beautiful.
Yeah.
But it was like, this is what happens when you tell people who are afraid of needles that they can do a blood test with a finger prick.
Yeah, people will give you $11 million apparently.
Yeah.
But even all these people that were giving the money and that were buying into this bullshit were getting tests done intravenously. Like, that's what's wild about this whole thing. Like, they were
doing all I can say is
thing that she sold them on. They were actually experiencing wasn't true. Even George Shultz, who is, as we know, the Secretary of State, who is a big, big, huge supporter of Elizabeth, was getting his test done intravenously. And people were like, do you not see a problem with that? And they were just explaining to him why he was like a rare case, when in the end, every fucking person was getting
his own grandson was like, grandpa, don't you see like what's happening here? And he was like, no.
You're like, you're
like when you try to convince
to
any of your stubborn grandparents to do anything.
Yeah.
You're like, just get off Facebook and stop believing blonde women who are telling you that this medicine works.
Blonde women.
But yeah, so now it's kind of like, as you can obviously tell, things aren't going well for her or Theranos.
Yep.
So in 2008, the board tried to push her out because she's obviously kind of like going, like clearly giving false messages of like what can happen. And it's like the people that were hired are trying their best situation. And she convinced them to let her keep the company.
Which is wild.
Which, I mean, I guess it's something like, if you can convince people to give you millions of dollars, you can convince someone to keep your job.
Yep.
And then in April 2011, the New York Department of Health files a formal complaint, which is when you're like, you should be getting extremely nervous. But then in 2015, Forbes profiled her as the youngest female billionaire. So it's this weird situation where it's like things aren't going well, but on the surface, she still looks like she has everything going for her.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like with our Forbes talk we were just talking about. And around this time, though, Ian Gibbons, the chief scientist at Theranos, was warning Holmes, saying that like they weren't ready for the pub, like everyone knew, were telling her like, girl, like this is like a glass house, like we should not be doing this type
and
of situation.
And she like ramped up marketing after you told her that.
It was kind
she
of
like, oh no,
it was like the Oprah ghost. I mean, the Whoopi Goldberg and ghost being like, you in danger, girl. Like she was getting all those signs.
They were just saying they weren't ready to be administered to the public, and she didn't listen. And they were actually using Theranos on these cancer patients in Tennessee. Apparently, thankfully, according to the Dropout podcast, those weren't the only tests. It was just like part of
on top of
right. But but like people really thought that they were putting people's lives at stake by giving them these tests that were not reliable and not at all ready to be used.
Right.
Yeah. And then so she's getting just investigated. Like worms are kind of like whirlwinds are spurring around, but it kind of came to like a major hit, I feel like, in 2015 with the Wall Street Journal piece that exposed all of their, like, kind of just put it all out on the table. It was like a watershed moment where, like, they were saying the testing machines don't work. They're running tests through competitors' machines, kind of things we were talking about, and things that she knew was happening, and that the tests were so far off that employees asked, like, what they wanted to report for their proficiency test. Like,
right. They're basically cherry picking data. So they were only choosing the stuff that supported that Theranos worked, which is like literally the biggest no-no in science. I mean, and I only took science through like eighth grade.
Because it's a thing. It's like no for like, that's maybe one thing for like asking your friends which pictures you want to Instagram from a weekend out, but not for something when you're like, oh, this person could have like a life-threatening disease that do we like, and we don't know what to tell them.
Well, and the wild part too is that she didn't even tell the employees. She, like, the employees kind of thought that they were doing random tests, but they were actual patients that they were testing them on, that they were having these gross, gross inaccuracies, like hundreds of like points off of things. Like, it's wild. Like, I read this one thing that said that they were testing for potassium, and they did it on a Theranos machine, and they did it on a regular machine, and the Theranos machine said it was so inaccurate that the people, they were like, they would have to be dead for them to have this much potassium. And
Jesus,
they were giving these results to fucking people.
Yeah,
two people. I just want to know what was in these Theranos machines. Like, was it like a hamster on a wheel? Like, what was happening?
Something that I read, or maybe it was on The Dropout, where they said that it was like kind of a joke that every time that she was like demonstrating it, like they'd put the blood in, and they joked that there was like actually like a hand in the machine, and take it off and bring it to the real machine. Like, it was like it was wildly joked about. Truly, inside of the Theranos thing. Although they said that people weren't actually allowed to like talk to each other, so it must have just been like people in their own like specific groups. Because she said that they like didn't connect, like nobody in the building knew what anybody else was doing.
Right, and on a darker level, people joked that the machines didn't work, but anytime people would try to bring it up to Elizabeth or Sunny, she would bully them, or he would. They would be intimidated, or they would just get fired.
And that's because that's like she would just snap her fingers and things would happen, and people would be fired. Constantly.
People were fired all the time,
and then like she obviously as you. She's very like gung-ho and strong with everything. So she went to, she goes on Mad Money and tries to defend herself and doubles down, and still like, completely. She's still being like, no, this is all happening. This is all working. And we actually have a clip, Holmes defending Theranos to Fortune's Alan Murray at Fortune's Global Forum after the Washington Post completely drags the company.
So it was kind of a shock to us to discover a few weeks ago that you're really only doing one test with that pinprick. Do you think the hype, did we both let the hype get ahead of the story if you're only doing one test?
Well, let me just start by saying, and I'll talk about that decision to transition our systems to the FDA framework, which led us right now, as of this moment, for the last few weeks only, to run just one test in a minute. But I think, you know, part of this is we've looked at all of these articles over the course of the last couple weeks, and I'm an engineer, and we've tried to approach this the way we approach everything, which is understanding, you know, what was written, what's accurate, what's not accurate, and how did it happen? And so we went through these in detail, and we've seen that much of what has been written is not accurate. And so we've asked ourselves, what did we do to get into this kind of place in which we're reading this kind of stuff all over the national media? And what we've concluded from that is that we need to do a better job of communicating, and we want to be the best at that. I mean, as you can tell from this coverage, I'm definitely not a PR person. And
well,
so...
Okay, my immediate thought was, well, it's twofold. Okay, number one, I feel like her voice is just getting progressively deeper the more and more hot water she gets in.
She's off the deep.
She's like, Theranos is real. Yeah.
But, oh my God, hearing him be like, hey, your machines don't work, and her being like, no, we just need to get better at communicating, is like me going to my boyfriend, like, I have evidence you cheated on me, and him being like, oh no, babe, we just need to work on our communication. Well, yeah. It's totally
she's
fine.
She's like not even making any sense. She's truly, I just, immediately thought of like the pageant answer when the girl was like everywhere, everywhere, like such as, like that was truly
such as what Iraq.
Yeah. And yeah, the maps. Yeah. Like that's her, but about a company that's supposed to save lives.
Yeah. It's like, it's truly wild. But obviously people were catching on that she was full of shit, because in 2016, the FDA actually surprised everybody at Theranos and busted on in and was like, we're going to go ahead and check this out. And they said that everybody was kind of freaking out because, again, nobody knew what the hell was actually going on there. Mm-mm. Except for Elizabeth. Elizabeth seemed to be steadfast in her, like, we're cool and we will fix the changes that we need, that need to be fixed. Who knows if they ever did. But Medicare, Medicaid, all these places that she kind of had the offered the services to started being like, okay, maybe we shouldn't, you know, recommend people to them. So eventually, obviously, people started catching on that she was full of shit. So in 2016, the FDA actually went and surprised everybody at Theranos to say, okay, let's check and see what's going on here. And Elizabeth Holmes still maintained that, like, everything was kosher. It definitely was not. The SEC and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services started looking into it, because obviously they can't very well recommend testing of this thing that is grossly inaccurate. In 2016, July 2016, Holmes was actually banned from lab testing for 2 years. They said she couldn't work in a lab, she couldn't run a lab. In October of 2016, Theranos was officially shut down. The centers and the labs kaput.
But the company was still functioning somehow.
Still functioning.
How does that even work?
I don't know. I feel like people find their ways to, like, make shit that they want.
I feel like it reminds me of, like, those guys who lied to their wives about having been fired, so they, like, pretend to go to work.
With, like, an empty briefcase. Yeah.
And they just go to the bar.
Yeah.
They just go work for Coors Light. In March of 2018, Holmes, Theranos, and the former president, Sunny Balwani, were charged with massive fraud by the SEC. And I think it's important that we now mention, I know we've said his name a couple times, but Sunny Balwani was a major player in this whole Theranos fucking pyramid. He was, actually, he sold a tech company right before the tech crash that, I guess, I don't remember what year it was, but he made a shitload of money. He drove flashy cars, had a big house.
Yeah, he had like a Porsche and a Ferrari.
Yeah.
I heard.
You know, when you can't choose. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with a vanity plate.
Yeah.
Probably.
Both of them had vanity plates. He was super casual. He was a really sick cash guy. you know, loafers, purple suits, the whole deal. But he basically, he had donated, he met Elizabeth years ago when she was doing work in China.
When she was still in college.
Yeah, she
right?
was like 18, 19
at
the time.
She was little and he was married.
Yikes.
Yeah. But he donated $13 million interest-free to Theranos, essentially making him the president of the company, again, with not a single medical expertise, experience to his name. Nothing. He just had $13 million, which I guess if I had that, I'd be like, I'm a doctor.
Right? I would, and people would just be like, yeah.
I think the lead, which we're burying, is that he was dating Elizabeth Holmes
and he was
during this
Elizabeth.
Time. First of all, where can I get a sugar daddy with $13 million?
I know. Fund my company.
Oh,
I'll
God,
do
I gotta
something
travel
with
more.
Blood.
Yeah, fund my fake company.
Yeah, I'll like hold blood. Like what? What do we need to do? Yeah,
I'll hold it in my hands. Yeah. I don't care.
Right. Also, none of the investors knew that they were dating.
No. They said they didn't even talk at work.
Yes.
But they lived together too, which is wild.
Yikes. And Sunny Balwani's lawyer spoke to the Dropout podcast and basically they asked him, don't you think you should have disclosed to investors your relationship? And he was like, nah, I don't think they really would have cared. And it's like, it's like you sure?
Yeah.
Sonny was one of the guys too that was like one of the major people that would keep the employees from speaking out, because anytime they question anything, he would turn it around like a true abuser and make them at fault for it. That's like we were talking about the
it's not funny, but it's true.
It's like the proficiency test when they were like, hey, our machines are doing the wrong thing, and he's like, you shouldn't be using our machines for proficiency tests. Like, it's wild. Anytime somebody was like, I think this is, and they would come at him like rationally and be
right.
like, I just think we're a little bit like we're off, and what do you want us to do? And he'd be like, I'm so sick and tired of everybody complaining, like just do your work.
Right. One of his quotes was, I'm tired of people starting fires where there aren't fires. And it's like, dude, you're this stuff doesn't
You're
work.
In a volcano. Like, you're everything is erupting. Right? Like,
you
this is not
You are in
good.
The fiery yeah. pits of hell.
I feel
Absolutely.
Like he was kind of Elizabeth's goon, like, when she didn't want to
yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, like, be doing the muscle work or yeah. whatever of firing people and intimidating them. She would yeah. just sick Sunny after them.
Like, she definitely yelled at some people, but I think for the most part, whenever anybody questioned her, they got an email from Sunny that yeah. was very, yep. very Meet threatening. Me like, yeah.
How do you think she yelled in that fake voice? I think that would be hard to pull off.
Get over here. I'm over it. Like, I like how I'm like just auditioning for Grease or
yeah,
something
like that.
Hey, get over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put me in coach.
Maria, get over here.
Get over here. Get over here. Could you imagine like getting like reprimanded by her in that voice and just trying not to laugh also?
Yeah, dude.
Just being like that
it'd be,
is.
It'd be near impossible. but so Sunny, and even when they broke up, he was still a major like supporter
oh,
and
yeah.
was still very much in Elizabeth's corner. Mm-hmm. But from per the Business Insider, Holmes finally gives up financial and voting control of the company, and she has to pay a $500,000 fine. And she has to return 18.9 million shares of Theranos stock, which, you know, as we said before, she poached a lot of people from Apple who gave up their Apple stocks. Dumb, bad move, like, horrible,
big
Apple
mistake, huge.
Yeah,
big
literally.
Mistake. That's what I was trying to think of. I was like, horrible. Yeah. I was like, there's some kind of something from Pretty Woman I should be remembering as a girl, but I didn't. But so, yeah, so basically all these people, I mean, and there was also like a lot of regular people that also invested in Theranos. So it was that one, it was like something that like people did were throwing their life savings into, yeah. which just makes me very, very sad.
Were they, I didn't actually know that. I thought it was only super rich people.
Well, there was this one per the Dropout mm-hmm. podcast, they interviewed this one lady. I mean, she was probably, she had more money
oh,
than us.
Oh, right, right,
she
right.
donated, she put like $150,000 and then right. took $50,000 back out. But still, that was like her only savings, her only investment.
And she was more so doing it to be like, okay, like not just being like, I want the clout. Yeah, type of thing.
Oh, yeah. right.
So
I
just
do.
Like, but so Holmes, she can't be the director of office of a publicly traded company for 10 years. So she can't touch shit for a while, which is probably for the better. Even though, like we said, she had good intentions, but when she knew shit was going down, she doubled down.
The colors came out. Yeah.
The colors yes. came out. They compare her a lot to Bernie Madoff with just like mm-hmm. knowingly scamming people. And then in June 15th of 2018, Holmes steps down as a CEO, which seems like she should have done that a while ago. Like, but I guess,
yeah.
You
how
know,
are you still
or
there?
Or never be the CEO.
It's her yeah. journey.
It's like,
we all blossom at different times.
We yeah. all have our things. And the grand jury indicts her on wire fraud and in September of 2018, which is just like around the right there.
Yeah.
Theranos shuts down. Finally. It shuts
That's
down.
That's like so oh long, I feel
it's
like.
So insane. That's
like what were people still going to work this
well,
whole time?
At this point,
I,
yeah,
I think
like
they were
well,
like, right after mm-hmm. I forget, right after the FDA came knocking or right after she got charged with fraud, they were still giving these speeches.
She That's still kinda, yeah, like, she still went to like a conference and like talked like after everything went down.
In her
like,
black
she
turtleneck,
like,
yeah.
got on her private jet. Her PJ.
The PJ.
Yeah,
the PJ.
Lala Cat. Oh, I just God. Watched that episode. Oh, and yes. Anyway, Vanderpump Rules and Elizabeth Holmes. Lot in common.
There's a lot in common. And I kind of love, like, that's kind of like, there's no real, like, humor in this because it's awful. But, like, just getting the people's reactions and, like, their, like, quotes and ideas of, like, her employees and just, like, what how she acted in the office is mm-hmm. insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, it's it kind is. Of one of those things where I guess it's, like, when you get dumped, you get bangs. But when you're, like, being, like, charge for fraud and everything, you just get a Siberian Husky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Hilarious.
And then like naming it Balto for like inspiration. Like she's kind of like, she's getting like spiraling for that.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that she's, I don't know, kind of a weirdo. And so as weird, things yeah. are crashing down, she just, I think, as you said, spiraled. And I just think it's fun to get into.
And then, because yeah. I remember the Vanity Fair article we were referencing a little bit talks about how like she was in all these like, billionaire geniuses have like idiosyncrasies that kind of mm-hmm. just like happen naturally to them or they just do it. And she was someone she like, she wanted them. So like, that's why she yeah. did that.
She just made it
the
up.
The voice low, the turtleneck. And then she would just bring her dog, but she would call it a wolf because she thinks all Siberian Huskies are wolves mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. That's where like, she doesn't
I guess
have
she
a
never
science.
Got the evolution lesson.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking like, about?
And would just like bring, like that was her weird idiosyncrasy, just bringing this dog.
Bringing the wolf to
everywhere,
work.
Bringing the wolf to work.
Bringing a wolf to work.
WTW. And like, would the wolf would just be shitting everywhere.
Yep.
And having like actual employees having just like running around chasing this dog.
That's a rich person thing though. Right. Like, if you've ever dog sat or house sat for rich people, they let their pets just shit everywhere. And I'm like, must be nice to just be able to buy a new rug.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I can't. I barely have one, you know? Like, it's just, yeah. But it's such a rich person thing to like not really take care of their, I mean, I don't want to offend any rich people, but fuck you. But, but like, honestly, it's weird. Like my friend is like a dog, like he has his own dog company and he's like, it's so common for rich people just that's to insane. Let their dogs act like spoiled kids.
I feel, you know? Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like that's a metaphor for their parenting.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Totally. And God forbid Elizabeth Holmes makes
and
another person.
And that's the other thing too, where it's like so funny, where you think if all this is happening to you, you're like, okay, I need to like try and think like, what do I do now? I have to cut back on things. I have to kind of be like more of a normal person, like save money maybe, because you're gonna have all your money taken away.
Nope.
Quite the opposite for her.
Right.
She truly had a personal security detail, which I mean like, sure, people have, but I don't think you need this, girl. Like, personal assistants, drivers, and a publicist that got paid over $25,000 a month.
What the hell?
Which blew
I'm in the wrong career.
I feel like at the end she needed it, and I don't know what that publicist was doing at the end.
Yeah, because you're just like, girl,
being like, oh yeah, talk to the media more. Like, no,
it's just absolutely just like trying to put out fires.
And she would do the PJ, but then her one thing that she's like, okay, fine, I'll fly first class. It would be constantly. Then she upped how much she traveled because she was trying to get money, like trying to spin something to make like an investor like her now or something like that. So it would just rack up thousands of dollars worth of travel bills every month. And my personal favorite, she had their conference room table cost $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I need pictures.
She definitely put more money into the appearance and into talking about it. Like literally nothing was ready and this woman was just dumping money into just showing that she had something. Like it's so funny that she's from Northern California, because I feel like it's a very LA thing to do, to be like, look at my car, I live in a box, I have a nice car, but I have no shoes, you know? Like it's a very, to present that you have all this shit going on, but you have nothing.
I mean, also the Theranos office cost $1 million per month.
And
I didn't even know that rent could be that high.
No, it's literally gone through a whole renovation too before it cracked down. Like
where is
like
this
green
office? Like, is it made of solid gold on the beach?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
You
actually don't understand.
Everything's edible.
Yeah, it's Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory right up in there. Yeah,
you can eat the plates.
And then, like, if anyone went to there, they had to like sign NDAs, and like security would be following them everywhere. It's like she kind of like
had
a snapped moment.
Yeah, I feel like she was kind of a crazy person as a decorator and a boss.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like it kind of, because like in the Palo Alto, all those like tech companies kind of like people talk and communicate sort of there. And like they, someone said in the Vanity Fair article, like every day, it was so crazy. Every day they'd be at the same bar. People from Theranos just having another like, you got fired today party.
Yeah,
which is, I wish I could be there, right? Because I feel like in the beginning it would be like, oh, there'd be 100 people. I'd be like, oh, we're so sad. And then by the end, it's two people being like, all right, just go.
They're like, why did we not find a new, like, how's LinkedIn Premium? We kind of touched on how she sort of just kind of wanted to be like the next apple from the apple tree.
Where iPhones grow. Yeah.
But my favorite, because we've been kind of like laughing about her voice and everything like that for a while, but we actually have a clip from a KQED, San Francisco's Biotech Nation podcast, Casey's hometown, where she slips up and uses her real voice. And just so everyone can kind of like see that, how insane it is, like the difference between her real voice and fake voice.
And what you've been doing? No, it hasn't. Well, if I use traditional words to describe what we're doing, it's hard because people then associate it with conventional processes.
Right?
That was kind of subtle, but yeah. Should we do it again?
Yeah,
what you've been doing? No, it hasn't. Well, if I use traditional words to describe what we're doing, it's hard because people don't associate
it's like somebody
it
slowing her down.
No, exactly.
It's like a robot shutting down. So she was like,
it really sounds like, because I realize that like what I do is like if I'm like at a bar and I'm like a little drunk and I compliment like a girl's like scarf, I'm like, oh my God, I love your scarf. But if I open the bathroom door on like a guy peeing, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like she just kind of like is like ebbing and flowing constantly.
I feel like that's so insane to me, because it's got to take so much dedication to commit to one fake voice for years. I can't even commit to like a single lie. Right. No.
Yeah. She's a robot. Like people have described her as talking like a man robot. And I think for her to do what she needed to do, she needed to kind of make herself emotionless and a robot. Because I mean, she was like devoid of feelings. Like this woman had her birthday party at Theranos with her employees.
Oh, is that weird to do?
Not if you're here.
Yeah, not if that's a
beautiful office. Yeah. I would fucking party here. Yeah. But like this woman, I mean, like she truly was. She was emotionless. Like Ian Gibbons, I know we touched on, he was the scientist and he worked there for 10 years.
Yeah, he was like the chief.
He was the scientist.
But he was very
the
Coldplay song. Yeah. I'll start bawling my eyes out.
But they kind of didn't even use him towards the end because he essentially was fired and got hired back because they wanted him to keep quiet because he was at a real conundrum of like turning in people and then having his friends lose their job or, you know, losing his job, all this stuff. Eventually, he committed suicide, essentially, and Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos reached out to his wife only to say, don't talk about your husband or we'll fucking sue you. And only to say, make sure you turn light. Like this woman
These people
was
were so
a,
grimy.
She was a robot. Like there was also a test that grossly misdiagnosed someone. I know I've said grossly a bunch of times. Take a drink every time I say grossly. but this woman, they literally, she took a blood test and it said that she had her cancer had come back. She had tumors. And when Theranos found out about this, they didn't so much as even apologize. I mean, this woman had a week of her life that was like, I'm dying, I'm gonna die, and then got a regular test and they're like, you're totally fine. Like
I would like sue them for emotional distress.
No, because she that's had white people what shit is.
But
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. I'm yes, like emotionally totally, distressed. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but like I mean this woman she had zero fucking feel. Like she
right. was, I feel like in the beginning we're all kind of like, well, she had good intentions and blah blah blah. But then, this is truly like a Walter White situation. By the end she was fucking ruthless.
Right? And I mean because that's like it's like for the patients that we all thought she cared about and she was doing this for doesn't care. Mm-mm. And the scientist that truly got her, was trying, like, doing his job to help her out and stuck by her for so much. She cares about no one truly but herself.
No, yeah. She was using one scientist as literally building manager or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she knew that she didn't have something for them to do because she wasn't working. So she had all these people working for her and they were doing trivial
right.
shit.
Yeah. I mean, Ian Gibbons was just going through people's resumes.
Yeah.
But she had, she wanted to have all these scientists on payroll just to like up so the credibility and be like, look, we have all these amazing PhDs working. And it's like, oh, right. But they're like sweeping floors or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. This is wild.
I mean, one of the funniest parts though, before we kind of like all unpack all of this, just to kind of be like, oh, this girl have some like sweet victory. The fact that what they made a fake lab room. Just let that sink in that they had to make a fake lab room at a lab
and Joe Biden
when Joe Biden went to visit and kicked out all the employees. And there was like a fan actively blowing because the paint was still dry.
Yeah, like, they like moved all the machines to one room, gave it a fresh coat of paint. It kind of reminds me of, I've heard that when you visit North Korea, all the supermarkets are just like a set, like they're all fake. Oh.
That's wild to me.
And I feel like Joe Biden is probably, he's probably can speak on all these fake rooms. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. But like, it is wild that they sent home the employees, painted this room and were like, this is our lab.
This is it.
And as we, I sent you guys the picture of the Theranos machines. God. You guys, it literally like, if you were to see this, just imagine whatever you're thinking a Theranos machine looks like. I was imagining a big machine. Like there's arms, there's like I imagine something that could test anything.
There's these arms.
I don't know what there
it's
is.
Dr. Ock.
Yeah, yeah. It's a robot. It like I don't know what it is. These things look like Keurig machines.
Oh,
they are.
They
kind of
look like
little
laser
black
printers. I feel like
they do. They look like nothing that I would ever trust somebody to tell me I had herpes.
I mean, then again, I don't know what the machine looks like that tests blood regularly.
I don't, but I just imagine it's a little more complex.
You gotta put something somewhere, I feel like.
That was the whole thing with Theranos, was that it was supposed to be portable and small. That was the whole thing.
For the businesswoman on the go, yeah.
So, for the blood test,
on
the go.
You know when you have a layover and you're like, what do I do? I'll test my blood.
Yeah, let me just make sure I don't have diabetes real quick.
Yeah. Rosé and cancer testing. Now
well, that would be chill because I could have one in my house and just do like a herpes test every time you hook up with a new person.
Or make them do it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you're right. Make them do it. What am I saying?
No, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Just a finger prick.
This could have been such a good idea if you could like get instant STD testing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, you fucked up.
Oh, best friend.
Help us single patrons. Yeah.
They should have that at the Bachelor Mansion.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So apparently they do have to get tested for STDs.
Oh, they sure do. That's why most people get eliminated before casting. Sorry.
I was like, I don't know why. I just know.
She's like, not that I went through it.
Yeah, no, I just heard that.
I just read one book one time.
I love that book.
I feel like we've all kind of given our... We all kind of agree about Elizabeth.
Right.
Which is the thing. I feel like with other scammers, they're either not really hurting people or they're just hurting rich people's wallets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No one's lives are really at stake here. It's a lot harder to defend, I think.
That's the thing where it's like so hard. I mean, and I don't want to... I never would get joy out of someone being like, oh, like the major issue that happened is like this guy who has $25 million invested $2 million to like a scam guy who told him he could like double that and now he just has $23 million.
Right. It's boo-hoo. Like, boo fucking who?
Yeah, that, like, that sucks. But like, sure. But like these people, like someone thinking that they have cancer when they actively don't, or someone, or the giving like the potential to have accessible healthcare for people that can't afford it or don't have the time to do something. Yeah. And then just being like, actually, it's a complete scam. That's just right. Not being a human.
Well, I do kind of think my opinion is a little more complicated. I do definitely think she intended to start this company. I think that she did actually want to help people. I also think that she thought eventually that they would be able to come up with this technology, right. But they just didn't have it. And it was kind of like the snowball was going too fast down the mountain. And she was like, oh, shit, I'm just going to like lie and fake my way out of this temporarily. The problem while she bought time, the problem was she didn't have enough time. She ran out of time, yeah. And it all came crashing down. And that's kind of how I feel.
And for as like as much as she's like, oh me, what, huh? I think she loved also being in the spotlight. So as the snowball was rolling, I think even though she's just like, oh, I mean, this is cool, what, like, you know, she seems kind of like she's very like reserved and kind of not shy essentially, but you know, kind of she presents herself as just like, oh, I'm just a regular everyday smart girl, you know, blah blah blah, but she fucking loved it. Yeah. I think she actually loved the fame that came along with it, and that's I think that's what kind of kept her from actually fixing the problem. Yeah,
because
I think she was like, oh, people know who I am, I'm on the cover. Mm-hmm. Like I think that was really what,
because she would have to like admit fault at that point to do something. And then she's like, oh, well, I'm on these covers of these magazines, right. I'm not gonna change anything.
She's actually never once admitted fault,
which is insane.
But I get the legal strategy of it, especially considering now she's awaiting trial, facing up to 20 years in prison. But yeah, like I mentioned, she has never once admitted faults. She actually sees herself as the victim in all this, according to a former executive close to her who I think spoke to Vanity Fair. And it's just like so fucking funny to me because you would think that now she'd be laying low, sort of like Billy McFarland after he got arrested for Fyre Festival. You think these people lay low, and it's like, no, they up the ante even more. She's currently living in a luxury apartment in San Francisco. She's engaged to a hospitality heir who works in tech. I read a Reddit thread. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but apparently it's this guy named William Billings Evans, the heir of Evans Hotels, whitest name ever.
Oh my!
sounds like a city.
Yeah.
Also, like, in a Dakota. Yeah. Like, first of all, how is this woman engaged? I'm a not criminal, and I'm not engaged.
You're like, well, hi.
Yeah.
I love hotels. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where's my 27-year-old fiance?
Oh my god. Where's my luxury apartment in San Francisco?
I know.
It's the most expensive city to live in. It's insane.
It's crazy. I'm like, how is she still allowed to like be out here, like out and about? It's just strange.
Yeah, it really is. Like this, like I don't, if you're awaiting trial, that means that you don't have to be sitting somewhere.
Well, if you post bail, you don't have to be in jail.
Ooh. Oh, I guess, yeah.
Is that a saying? Post bail, not in jail.
Yeah. Bail, no jail.
Yeah, it's actually my bumper sticker.
Post bail, no jail.
It's your vanity plate. It takes up the entire
thing. There's like a little like rap commercial for it. Like a cartoon figure.
Yeah, like those ads for personal injury lawyers that you hear on Hot 97.
Or like the general. Wait, no, wait till okay. You know about the general. Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. No, but exciting things are happening for us because there's going to be a couple movies about Elizabeth on March 18th, which is so soon.
So soon.
An HBO documentary is coming out called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley, which I just can't wait for.
I know.
Yes.
Um, There's also going to be a fictionalized movie called Bad Blood based on John Carreyrou's book. Jennifer Lawrence is playing Elizabeth Holmes.
And Adam McKay's directing, so it's probably going to be all over the Oscars next year.
It's gonna be good. Yeah. And it's going to have lots of splices of like birds and stuff. Yes.
Also, ABC.
I was like, what the hell's going on here? It's gonna
be good. ABC News also just came out with a podcast called The Dropout, which I binged all day yesterday.
Which we reference. So it's so much really information good. If you're interested in Elizabeth Holmes. It's really good. It's a short listen. You can do it on your commute. It's really good.
Yeah. But Elizabeth is truly not letting go. She's apparently met with a filmmaker to do a documentary to discuss her side. And sources also say she wants to write a book.
If I did it too. Yeah.
Literally. Oh my God. Yeah. I hope she has the same ghostwriter as OJ.
Right. Well, do you guys know that the lawyer that she hired was like the bigwig lawyer was Harvey Weinstein's lawyer for.
Yes. Well, he didn't do too great.
Okay, Liz. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows?
What do you guys, how much prison time do you guys, I think we all agree that she should go to prison.
Yeah.
Send her away. Lock her up.
Yeah.
Lock her up. Yeah.
Show us her emails. I think that, I guess if she had apologized, I'd be like, okay, maybe 10 years. But like the fact that this bitch was like,
well, she did apologize, like, kind of. She's like, well, we obviously made some mistakes, but like our intentions were good and we really, whatever, you know?
Yeah. That just went on too long, like I said. But yeah. Like she's got to, you can't just billion your way.
Yeah. You can't billions with Williams. Yeah. I know. I feel like it's going to be one of those things. Her new man.
Billions with Williams. I'm going
to Google him later. No, but I feel like it's going to be one of those things where she'll probably like get maybe 15 to 12 years, but then get out a little bit with
100%
WRG syndrome, white rich girl syndrome. Like, yes. She'll be able to get out kind of fast.
She'll be picking up trash on the side of
And like, 101 she's great. I can just imagine. I wonder, I'm also very interested to see, like, will she take on, because she adapted this like very strong persona as a like leader. Will her court persona like alternate a little differently? Like,
will she lead a race gang in prison?
Right? Yeah. It's like the Masked Singer, but for her voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Is she going to delve yet and be like, prison's not that bad?
Yeah.
There's lots of blood here.
Oh my God. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you feel?
I hope she should get the full 20, but I know that won't happen.
No.
I know.
It's obviously going to be some bullshit. I think that she will be sentenced for sure. I feel like there's just overwhelming evidence that this was like, even if it wasn't a scam initially, by the end she was obviously lying and defrauding investors, in my opinion. But yeah, we know how the justice system works for like pretty white women.
Yeah, we all watch SVU. We know.
Yeah, we saw Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. She'll probably write the next book.
As a fun anecdote section, you guys know that I love Reddit. So the Vanity Fair article references her Instagram and I'm like, all right, let's find this bitch. So I just Googled Elizabeth Holmes Instagram and I got this Reddit thread, which was how I found out about her supposed fiance's identity. And then I found some personal accounts of people who met Elizabeth like now while she's awaiting trial. So someone said that they had met her at a dog park because she lives in the same neighborhood in San Francisco. And they said, quote, she's always on, makes eye contact, is super friendly, introduces herself, gazes directly into your eyes. It seems like she's always trying to make a sale, even with a fellow dog owner at the dog park. It's like, what are you trying to sell anymore? Yeah. I guess you're innocent.
Everyone knows. Yeah, I guess. And now she's trying to just
still
like
believing
be court
in
public
her
appeal.
Own bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, I think she still thinks that she's like gonna change the world. Oh. And she might, but it'll just be in history as somebody that did this and then went to jail.
Mm-hmm. Also, this person did say that she is still using her fake voice, but she's given up the turtlenecks and she's now more into athleisure.
Ooh.
Which could be a fun prison change.
I know, right? She'll do a little Fabletics,
Oh my God, maybe that's her new thing. It's like a subscription box.
Do you like yoga?
A turtleneck subscription box.
I love Kate Hudson, but that's some scam.
Lululemon pants. They're able to make you stretch without practicing.
So yeah, I love Reddit. All right, so that's fun. Elizabeth, what a character.
What a lass.
Where do you guys place her with other scammers that we've talked about, Anna Delvey, Billy McFarland, even Bernie Madoff.
It kind of goes back to the what each of them were doing. Anna Delvey was scamming her way into like brunch reservations in hotels, mm-hmm. which is illegal, but also at the same time, it's like she was just like kind of doing her.
More.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was just sort of like, yeah, affecting people who like can take hits but can't do it. And like her foundation was just to be like basically like Soho House for like NoHo House. Elizabeth was kind of like, her motives and methods were just so much more drastically dangerous inherently because it was medical. So I've kind of placed her as more of like the...
Yeah.
In the beginning, first reading about her, I was kind of like, okay, she's just kind of misunderstood with everything. But now I kind of place her into like, you are actively like killing people. Like her, like you could kill people. Type
right.
of thing.
The minute it started to go into, hurting actual patients and keeping those secrets from her employees, from the people that actually had to do these tests, you're like, okay, you know, you're clearly not dumb, as we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. She's very bright, very smart. You have to know what you're doing is wrong. And the fact that you chose to do it, continued to do it and continued to peddle it and sell, like she was told the machines weren't working and she sold more. Like it's just, it's wild, you know?
Yeah.
What about
you? Well, I feel like I kind of already gave my opinion on this. I feel like initially I would buy that she was just in over her head. But once she started lying, even as it was clear that these machines were not doing shit, basically is where it gets into criminal territory for me.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to ask was a big thing in like the Fyre Festival documentaries and this account was like, there's all these people working there who know that something is weird, but aren't saying anything. And I wanted to get y'all's opinions on why you think, I mean, Tyler was like the one main whistleblower. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you think no one else was going to the media and doing this?
I mean, I think a lot of them tried to do it within the company and were just threatened. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes when your livelihood's at stake, and I'm sure that these people, I'm assuming, I haven't seen anything that said how much people that work there were getting paid, but I'm assuming it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And isn't San Francisco like one of the most expensive places
it's
to live?
It's the most. Like a studio is like $3,500 in like a shitty area.
Yeah. So. Even in San Jose, where like in Silicon Valley, where it all is, it's still like everywhere up and down the peninsula is expensive. So I think that I think at the same time, it's like when your livelihood, you kind of just write it out, you know?
And I feel like it's also one of those things where you like being in, like you think forward to like what that fight would be. And it's like, you're like, okay, I'm this one employee. I have these information, but you see how they spin things. And it's sort of like, what am I going to do? And then also it's sort of probably one of those, like, I'm not like, no one hopefully is doing anything as bad as this really in Silicon Valley that much, but like, there's only so few jobs or like companies that really are like hiring or successful there. Probably you're like, am I going to be written off as like this like narc almost that can't even like keep secrets or jumps around or stuff like that?
Because that's true.
Yeah. Because in my head, I would love to be like, if I was an employee there, I'd love to be like, I am going to do an op-ed live on Instagram and everyone's like, but I'm like, I don't even, I'm like, will I not have a job to support like my family, my kids and stuff like that? Or will I be blackballed?
Yeah. Like Tyler Schultz could afford to be a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Tyler Schultz, which was, you know, George Schultz, like we said, his grandson that essentially was the one who gave the story to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. He was rich. So like
that's a super good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could afford to do that.
Even though his parents are like, you're going to ruin your career. It's like, do you need a career? Like, no. He's fine.
He has a trust fund.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
That's a good point. I think that's kind of the heart of it. Because Fyre Festival was all these like poor millennials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think having worked in startups, like I understand the environment of like, they just want everything to be positive, even in the face of stuff that's going wrong. Like I totally have worked in environments like that and like understand what it's like to feel like, oh, if you're bringing up something that's not glowing, then you'll get berated.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like nobody wants to really admit failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that's the same with Theranos.
Okay, finally, what is with this trend of millennial scammers?
We're smarter. We're getting we see the life we can lead on social media and we want that life. And
that's what's so interesting too, because it's not, you're seeing a lot less of people being like, so many scams before were like, oh, retirement funds, investment funds, stuff like that. Now it's kind of like, oh, do this thing and it'll be like your heir and it can be kind of like how you're going to present yourself, stuff like that. And people are so easily swayed to be like, oh, cool, I like donate to this, like, or I like contribute to this like healthcare situation. This is amazing for me. and Elizabeth Holmes being like, oh my God, I want to be the glossy blonde hair. I want to be the modern Steve Jobs who's like printed everywhere and on Wikipedia.
We live in a world of influencers.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks that they, you know, you get enough follow, you get enough and you can tell people what to do essentially. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a hot take. My no, I definitely agree. It's not even hot. I definitely just agree with it.
Yeah.
I was actually going to go like a more meta direction, and I sort of feel like
the Reddit girl.
Yeah,
going meta. The Reddit girl.
Like, I just think there are scammers in all walks of life in there all are. Generations. We just know about it more because of our 24-hour news cycle, and we're oversaturated with media and stories all the time.
I mean, even just think about homeless people that are like, I need $6.50 to get on the bus. It's like, I could buy you a bus ticket.
Or like the fake Nigerian princes.
Mm-hmm. They're all over.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone. Yeah.
They walk among us.
Stars. They're just like us.
And on that note, that's it for this time. Thanks for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe. You can follow us on Instagram at NATCpod, Twitter, NATCpod. I'm Sarah F. Carter on Instagram.
I'm Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
I'm Caseface B. Well, pardon me, it's a frog. I'm Caseface B, Case with a C. There we go.
All right, and thanks for listening, and don't get scammed.
Don't get scammed. Damn.
Betches.